everyone is given the keys to the kingdom. Now, these keys are prefigured in the Old Testament. If you were a first century Jew, even if you thought Jesus was totally off his rocker, you thought he was absolutely crazy, and there's no way this guy is the Son of God or anything like that, even if you believe that, you would understand the significance of a man who thought he was the King of Kings, who thought he was the Davidic heir, the heir of the line of David, the righteous shoot of the stump of Jesse, right? If he said he had an inner quorum of people he was giving authority to bind and loose, and to one of them he said, I'm going to give you the keys, you would understand emphatically that what he's doing is he's setting up a prime minister or a chief steward. The king's job was to be away and fighting for the protection and the advancement of his kingdom. In fact, David gets in trouble one time when he's not doing that. All of his people are out fighting, and he's on the rooftops, and he sees a pretty girl, Bathsheba, and hubba, 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 and eventually he falls into grave sin and even gets her husband killed to cover up his sin. Not a good thing for a man after the heart of God, but David at least repents, and that's what makes him after the heart of God. Other men may not have repented. They may have just persisted in their obstinacy, right? But so we know, and Isaiah gives us this imagery, that the Davidic king, when the king was away, he would leave stewards in his stead. And these stewards had the authority of the king. Now, they weren't exercising their own authority. They were exercising the authority of the king. But sometimes your stewards would fight and not come to an agreement. Your ministers would fight. And so one of them was elevated and given a symbol of the authority of the king to make binding decisions that all of the other ones had to follow. And can you guess what the symbol of that authority was? It was the keys to the kingdom. And so we see in Isaiah 20, the following passage. Actually, I think it's 22. I copied it. I think I put it down the wrong. Anyway, it's either 20 or 22, 15 and following. So if it's not in 22, it's in 20. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this is a defrocking ceremony. So one guy is actually thrust out of an office, another guy is put into it. But all of this is pointing towards, in this prophetic moment by Isaiah, is pointing towards what's going to happen. Say this to the steward Shebna, who's over the house. What have you to do here? And to whom have you here that you have hewn here a tomb for yourself? You who have hewn a tomb on the height and carved habitation for yourself on the rock. Behold, the Lord will hurl you away violently, O you strong man. He will seize firmly on you and whirl you around and throw you like a ball into the wild land. There you will die, and there shall be your splendid chariots, and there's you shame of your master's house. So this is a steward who is not doing his job right. He's being thrust out. And then it says this, I will thrust you from your office, and you will be cast down from your station, and I will summon my servant Eliakim on the day. I will clothe him with your robe, I will bind him with your girdle, and I will commit your authority into his hand. So he had real authority. He will be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. What he opens, no one will shut. What he shuts, no one will open. I will fasten him like a peg in a sure spot and a sure place, and he will become a throne of honor to his father's house. And they will hang on him the whole weight of his father's house, the offspring and every issue, every small vessel from the cups to all the flagons. And in that day, the Lord of hosts says, the peg that was fastened in a sure place will give way and will be cut down, and the burden that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. So he's literally saying that he is going to kick Shebna out of the place and put Eliakim in. So, and then he tells you what this authority means. The authority is the house is the keys. This authority is whatever he binds, no one will shut, will loose. Whatever he opens, no one will shut. This is Hebrew translated into English as opposed to Greek, but it's basically the same thing. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you open, no one will shut. Whatever you shut, no one will open. Whatever you bind, no one will loose. Whatever you loose, no one will bind. Only for Peter, it's even better because he gets two keys, and the keys are the keys to the heavenly kingdom and also the earthly kingdom. And thus Jesus can say, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. So that right there is enough to establish the Petrine authority, but we can go even further. In fact, in Matthew, the end of Matthew 9, running into Matthew 10, it's one of those cutoffs that doesn't make a lot of sense to be there. What we see is it says, Jesus looks around at the people, sees they're like sheep without a shepherd, and he says to the apostles, pray that the master of the harvest, God, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Pray the master of the harvest that he'll send out more workers. And then he called his 12. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John and so on and so forth. Matthew calls Peter protos first. Now, we know that Peter wasn't first because Jesus finds Andrew. Andrew finds Jesus first, and then Andrew brings Jesus to Peter. And the moment Jesus meets him, this is in John 1:42, the moment Jesus meets Peter, he gives him that new name, Peter, rock, Petros. You will be called Peter, you know, Simon Orr. If somebody came up to you the very first time you met them and like, hey, you know what? Your name is Rocky now. You'd be like, what's that all about? Right. But of course we see this, opened to us and our understanding in Matthew 16. Peter is always mentioned first in every list of the Gospels. Judas is always mentioned last. There's a whole bunch of other reasons as well I could give to this. I'm just going to be quick about this. I think one of the most interesting ones is I think Peter is mentioned by name around 200 times in the New Testament. The next most common apostle is the beloved disciple John, who's mentioned a total of 40 times. And if you add up all of the other apostles together, Peter is mentioned more than all of them. Peter is seen very clearly as the leader in the church, and he's mentioned in almost every listing first. He's listed every listing of the apostles he's mentioned first. And the only times he's not mentioned first in other cases is when either the narrative, there's like two times by Paul. One of them is in Galatians, where Peter was actually, you know, wrong. And so Paul's like, I was there with John and with Peter, and Peter was wrong because he was fearing the circumcised. And so Paul rebukes Peter correctly for a moral sin, for a failing. And nobody thinks the Pope can't sin. And then the other time he actually says, you know, Paul puts himself last. He's very self-deprecating. I'm the least of the apostles, he says all the time. And at one point he says, you know, I'm trying to think of the exact listing, the exact wording. He says, you know, do you follow, some say I follow, he puts it in reverse order. He says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, Peter, or I follow Christ. And so he puts them in this ascending order. And so he says, there's me, the lowest of the apostles. There's Apollos, this, you know, regular, handsome fellow who's preaching the gospel. There's Peter, and then there's Christ, right? And he says, all of us are baptized into the baptism of Christ, and so on and so forth. And so we see all just explicitly, this is the case. Early church councils, East and West, acknowledged the authority of the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, the successor of Peter. Peter's, his office landed there as well. The early church fathers from the first and second century all attest to this as well. I could give you those if you want. I'm not going to do it in this video because now we're already pushing on an hour long, and I still have a bit more to go, but hopefully this is helping so far.